not we'll try and get around it. First and foremost, I want to dedicate this sikha to a certain group of people that have been working exceptionally hard. And those group of people are the following. Number one is we want to dedicate the sikha to Shunbet. We'll appreciate what I'm talking about. Number one, Yehuda Gold, who's running around all over the place, and Rabbeinu Miller, who's a Shunbet guy who is not in quarantine, but he's basically serving as a madrich, running everywhere, doing everything, and that's certainly something that is very significant and very appreciated. On the Shana Aleph side of things, again, the madrichim in particular, Matt Fixler, Yehuda Kalati, and Moshe Latinik are really, really working hard. They're manning the building, doing a lot of hard work, and it's something that, again, very much appreciated. But I want to single out a couple of students as well at the moment. I'm going to single out one Shunbet guy and a group that he's associated with. You'll see why in a second, maybe, hopefully, and then one Shana Aleph guy. Okay, the Shunbet guy I'm going to single out is Kobi Sarutskin. And the reason I'm singling out Kobi Sarutskin, slow down, don't get so excited, is, and I don't know if you'll hear this, but I want to share with you a WhatsApp exchange that Kobi and I had not too long ago. He might not remember this, but I certainly remember this. I'm going to share my screen and see if I can pull this off. It's going to be more about audio than video, but here we go. We're going to give it a shot. Let's see if we can do this. Okay, we're on the shared screen. You should be able to hear this. Okay, hopefully you can hear it. Listen carefully. Kobi is going to start off. I'm going to respond. Okay, here's Kobi.
A few more days, Rebbe. A few more days. Have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.
Okay, I don't know. Whoa. Okay, so that was Kobi saying basically, a few more days. Have an amazing, amazing Shabbos. That was Kobi communicating with me. I responded back as follows. Listen carefully.
You too, Kobi. Looking forward to seeing you. You'll handle quarantine okay? Just want to make sure it's all going to be good.
Okay, so I gave him a little heads up about quarantine, and now Kobi responded as follows. 23-second voice note coming up. Okay, I don't know if you heard that fully, but I'll just give you a little Peirush Rashi. Basically, Kobi says, yeah, Rebbe, I got this. No problem. I'm just so pumped to get to yeshiva. I got this. And he says the only concern he has is he might get sick and beat the living daylights out of his roommates after 2 weeks with them. But I got this. No problem. And just pumped to get back to yeshiva. So that was a Kobi Sarutskin interchange, and I think a week later, or 8 days later, 9 days later, wherever we're holding, I think we've become a little more educated on some of our unique challenges, and I know it's tough, Kobi. I'm with you. I feel your pain. I'm going to be visiting you, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow afternoon. I'm coming back to Mevaseret to check you guys out, but no doubt it's got its challenges. I wouldn't want to mess with Kobi. He's a big guy. He knows. He works out a lot. But Be'ez Hashem, we're on the other side. We're more than halfway there. So that's shout out number one to Kobi and the rest of the guys. Pilegesh Begova. The other shout out I want to make is to Shana Aleph guy. Picking one guy, but not random. Yoel Jacobson, you're distracting me. Calm down. The other guy I want to single out on the Shana Aleph guy is Yonah Hook. Now, Yonah Hook is in, I have the schus of having Yonah Hook in my shir, and the man is, and I say this as a tremendous, tremendous compliment. I did a survey today of around my shir room, how are guys doing in their bidud, in their quarantine, how are they doing? Rate it 1 to 10. If you're miserable, you want to, like, basically shoot yourself, it's a 1, and if it's fine, you're doing great, it's gavaldik, you're a 10. And basically, Yonah Hook came in with a very strong, positive, energized 9. And he says, quarantine's awesome. I love the guys. good food, learning's good, having a good time, like, it's awesome. Like, that was his, like, mindset. That was his statement. I asked him how he likes learning. I gave him, do you love it? Do you ambivalent? Do you hate it? I love learning. Everything is positive, is energized, is, and to be honest with you, at first I didn't, and I don't know Yonah Hook so well just yet. I hope to get to know him very well, but at first I said, well, like, is he joking? Is he, like, serious or not? And I've come to realize he is absolutely serious. He's positive, he's pumped, and he's energized. And if you ask me, the Mida that's going to go ahead and enable us successfully to navigate quarantine, it's that Mida, is to be pumped and energized. And even though it's not always going to be exactly as we want, and even though we'd like to have much more space, and even though we have all the even those, But with about a week behind us and a week ahead, to come in with a energized attitude, a positive attitude, I'm meeting new people, I have a good chevra, I enjoy my rabbeim, and I'm basically, you know, pushing and doing my best, that's how we successfully get through. So a very special chizuk for me from Yonah Hook. And I'll tell you the truth, as I'm again focusing a little bit more on the Shana Aleph guys right now, But I've been with you now since Thursday. We're getting close to a week together. And I will tell you, overall, you guys make a really, really good impression. I have the schus of davening shachris every day with Dira 4, and that's a big schus for me. I have the schus of davening mincha every day with Dira 7, and that's a big schus. And kind of just seeing you guys and spending Shabbos with you guys and seeing overall, despite the challenges and despite the difficulties, an overall positive energy. I look at the Days Without Sunroom. And these guys are mama's six guys, no son, doing this, and they're positive, they're smiling, they're good. Like it's a really, it's a koach, it's a power to see the daylight at the end of the tunnel, number one, but to see despite challenges and despite difficulties, to be positive, to be energized, and to say, you know what, this is part of my avoda right now. This is part of my yirida letzorech aliyah, and that's the meter that's going to really, really get us through. So as my first sichavi, I just want to touch on a couple of ideas, maybe link one to the parsha, a message or two that I want to share, and then I will leave you to be. But I will tell you, for me, and the Shana Bet guys hear this from me all the time, but I want to emphasize because it's really, really true. This, since Purim time, when the Shana Bet guys started to ease out, and since they started to leave, since Purim time, there's something been missing in my life. And the shiurim that I gave over the summer and in Kayetzman and in July definitely were my chius, and that definitely kept me going. But the daily interaction with Tamidim and being exposed to Tamidim, learning together with Tamidim, seeing Tamidim, trying to help them with their issues, that I've come to learn about myself over the past 5 or 6 months, that's definitely what keeps me going. That's Kihem Chayenu. And to have you guys back, Shana Bet guys back, Shana Aleph guys back, and to have you back and to have this kind of environment of, like, together again, despite the uniqueness of the circumstances, is good. It's a good thing. And it's not perfect. It's not ideal. We'll get there. But it's a good thing. It's a positive thing. It's something that I see in the guys. Shana Aleph guys, I see a great chevra. I really do. There's some really, a lot of really, really special guys. And I really do believe, I'm going to echo something you heard from Rav Berg on day one, but I believe it. I think this year has the potential, because of the challenges, it has the potential to be more special than ever. I see, for example, in one of the, in Dira 3, I believe it is, there's a chevra of guys that many of them didn't really know each other beforehand, and after 5, 6 days, they find themselves to be so close. And that's a unique thing, that you have guys that you didn't really know, and all of a sudden, because of these crazy circumstances, I feel incredibly close to guys that I might not even have interacted significantly with if I was in a regular yeshiva. But because of this yeshiva, and because of what we're all going to experience together, there's going to be a closeness, a bondedness, a growth orientation that I think could really exceed something that we have in normal years. For me, as I like to say, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, you don't believe me, but it's true, this for me is my 27th Shana Aleph. And I go through, for me, every year is a new Shana Aleph. The reason I'm teaching and I'm learning and I love it is because it's another opportunity for growth. And that's really what the year or two or three, whatever it is, in yeshiva represents, is opportunities for growth. And there's no greater simcha. There's no greater simchas hachaim than the opportunity to grow and to connect. And in a very real way, perhaps it is extremely appropriate that that the parsha that we are going to read in this, our first full week in yeshiva, is V'haya Kisavo El Ha'aretz. And we come to Eretz Yisrael. And we come to Eretz Yisrael not stam. We come to Eretz Yisrael to be inspired, to experience special things. Again, for me, this is another Shana Aleph, where I have new opportunities for growth, new opportunities to be challenged, to be stretched, and hopefully to achieve special things. And in my lifetime, you know, when I remember when I was Shana Aleph in Shalavim, it was a transformative year. When I was Shana Bet in Shalavim, it was a transformative year. And I always was drawn back to a yeshiva. Whenever I had opportunities, Eretz Yisrael drew me back, a Beis Medrash drew me back. When I finished college, I came back to yeshiva for a year. When I finished law school, I wanted to come back to yeshiva for a year. When we made Aliyah, I took a year off to come back to yeshiva. Something always drew me back, a magnetic pull, something special about being in a Beis Medrash, and I can't wait for you guys to be able to have that experience and enter into that Beis Medrash. So we read about V'haya Kisavo El Ha'aretz. You come to Eretz Yisrael. The parsha opens up with the mitzvah of Bikurim, where the farmer takes his first fruit of Shivas Haminim of Eretz Yisrael, schleps them all the way to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, brings them as a korban, and thanks Hashem. And the Sefer HaChinuch and the Alshich and many other Sfarim point out that the Gemara says, Chazal say that the world was created bereshis. And there are certain things that are referred to as reshis, three core things. Number one is Torah is called reshis. Number two is Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael are called reshis. And number three, Bikurim, are referred to as reshis. And that's strange, because Torah, I get, that's exceptionally significant. Klal Yisrael, I get, we're exceptionally significant. Bikurim, what's so special about Bikurim? I take my first fruit, I bring it to Yerushalayim, a korban, what's so special? And the Sefer HaChinuch and the Alshich both explain that of all mitzvos that we have, the mitzvah of Bikurim at its core is about two words. It's about thank you. It's about hakaras hatov. It's about appreciating what Hashem gives to us. And that midah of hakaras hatov, of thank you, of appreciation, is the most fundamental, says the Chovas HaLevavos, of every single midah that we have. That's what it's about. And therefore, says the Alshich, it is not sufficient. Why do I have to schlep myself all the way from Tzfas, all the way from Tveria, all the way from Dimona to Yerushalayim with these, with a pomegranate, with a couple of grapes, with a couple of Peros Eretz Yisrael? Why do I have to do that? Let me send it with a slave. And the answer is that Hakaras HaTov demands of me to uproot myself, relocate myself, appreciate the values of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, of what I have, and demands of me to do that on a personal level. And Hakaras HaTov, if you live a life where you see the world is divided between two types of people. You have in the world, and you know this, you have takers and you have givers. And Hakaras HaTov is not just perfunctory, thank you very much, I appreciate it, shkoyach. That's not what Hakaras HaTov is. Hakaras HaTov is transformative. It tells you, you should not operate and live as a taker. You should live as a giver. You should recognize what you receive and appreciate that. If you just take it and you don't reciprocate, you don't transform yourself into a makir tov, so then you're a taker. And the goal is to transform us into givers. And I want to share with you a story or two. Story number one is a story, a very well-known story, of a famous, famous Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yisrael Gustman. Rav Gustman was a Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, small yeshiva in Rechavia. But his story goes way back. He was a brilliant genius in Vilna in the early 40s, before World War II. He was a dayan at the age of 19 on the Bezdin of Rav Chaim Ozer Grozhansky. Rav Chaim Ozer was the Gadol Hador, and 19-year-old Rav Yisrael Gustman was a dayan on his Bezdin. For some reason that he never fully understood at the time, one time Rav Chaim Ozer, taught him about botany and berries. And he pointed out to him, these berries are poisonous. And these berries are not poisonous. He never really understood why that happened until years later. Rav Gustman once, Rosh Yeshiva, very chashuv Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, small building in Rechavia, still standing, still has his name on it, Yeshiva Netzach Yisrael. He used to tend to the gardens in the yeshiva. He used to water the plants and tend to the gardens. And Tamidim wanted to know, Rebbe, 65-year-old Rosh Yeshiva, tremendous Talmid Chacham, why are you the one who's tending to the gardens? We have gardeners to do that. We, the Tamidim, could do that. Why are you doing that? And Rav Gustman said, I'm doing it because I owe the plants Hakaras HaTov. Huh? These plants, what did they do for you? These plants did nothing for me. But I was escaping from the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And I ended up in the forests, running away from the Nazis, with no food, with just the clothing on my back. And all of a sudden, I came to realize why my Rebbe Rav Chaim Ozer taught me and told me which berries are kosher and which berries are poisonous and which berries are not. Because I had to sustain myself for weeks at a time on the berries in the forest. And I knew which ones I could eat and which ones I could not eat. And finally, he was freed, came to Eretz Yisrael, built his yeshiva, and ever since that time, I owe Hakaras HaTov to plant life. And I water the plants, and I take care of the garden every single day. Now, you'll ask me a kasha, a pashut kasha. These plants are not those plants. I was saved by the plants in Poland, by the berries in Poland. What does that have to do with the plants in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim? And the answer is nothing. But Hakaras HaTov is not simply about who you're giving Hakaras HaTov to. That's not the essence of Hakaras HaTov. It's about who you are as a person. It's about your stance in life. Are you a taker or are you a giver? Hakaras HaTov, plants are inanimate. They don't feel, they don't experience, and these plants were not those plants. And that was not the point. The point for Rav Gustman was that he saw himself. It's a mitzvah beino levein atzmo to have a sense of gratitude, a posture of, I owe this to someone else. Someone did something. A plant, an inanimate object did something for me, and nevertheless, I have to go ahead and appreciate. It's a stance and approach to life. And I think it's a really, really healthy approach because when you're in quarantine, it's a famous Gemara, you all know this Gemara, that you could have six people with one blanket. And the natural inclination of a person when it's a cold winter night with one blanket, and there's only one blanket, everyone tugs to himself. And therefore, there's never enough blanket for anyone. But if you have six people under one blanket, and they're all making sure everyone else is okay, everyone else has enough blanket, then all of a sudden, there's enough blanket to go around. When I recognize the needs of my chaver, when you're in quarantine, and by definition, you're in an environment of scarcity, scarcity of space, scarcity of sunlight, scarcity potentially of food. I'm beholden to the delivery guys in my food. It's jail. That's what it is. Let's be honest. It's an environment of scarcity. And therefore, I might have an instinct to like take what I can. If there's a limited amount of space, grab what I can. Grab this, grab that. And that means that's the posture, that's the midah of a taker. And if we go ahead and identify who needs, how I can help someone else, where I can offer someone else, how I can make it easier for someone else, so all of a sudden my posture changes, I am a giver, and that becomes a game changer in my whole approach, in my whole attitude, a fundamental midah. There's a beautiful, beautiful story that's told over by a Talmud. And he sees his Rebbe, and his Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva, once again, he's davening a really long Shemona Esrei. Such a long Shemona Esrei. And the Talmud admires his Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, how do you do it? How do you daven such a long Shemona Esrei? I don't have the concentration. I can't keep it going. I lose focus. How do you go ahead and manage? And the Rebbe says, I'll tell you what I do. Right before I get to Modim, I stop and I think about everything that I have to be thankful for. Ving! Everything that I have to be thankful for. Sit up, Ving, sit up. And what do I think about? I think about my health. I think about my family. I think about, I have a car. I think I have eyes that can see. I think I have friends. I have a mishpacha. I have siblings. My body works. I mean, I have a great chevra. I mean, I have great rabbeim. And the list goes on and on and on. And this Rosh Yeshiva had lists of 100, 200 things. So he davened the long Shemona Esrei because his focus was modim anachnu lach. And that's ultimately the message of Mitzvahs Bikurim. And I would posit to you that it's a stance in life. It's a stance that's going to bring someone happiness. It's going to bring someone joy. You all know the famous, famous Rav Dessler, that the word ahava, love, comes from the root Aramaic word hav, to give. Because by giving to others, by sharing with others, by appreciating others, that's how we engender a sense of ahava, of love, of caring, and it makes us happy. Giving makes people happy. It focuses you not on what you're missing, but on what you have. It changes a mentality of scarcity to a mentality of abundance. And that mentality of abundance is an exceptionally healthy mentality. I would like to close with one last thought, if I may. And that is, I want to share with you a vart that I like to share every single year. And it's beginning of the year idea. And it's relevant equally to Shana Aleph and to Shana Bet. Comes from this week's Parsha. And we read in this week's Parsha about the brachos and the klalos that were said over to Klal Yisrael on Har Grizim and Har Eva. And the Torah tells us, Perech Chav Ches, Pasuk Beis. Ubo'u alecha kol ha-brachos ha'ele. All of these brachos will befall upon you. You'll receive. And then the pasuk says, if you do the mitzvahs, you'll get all of these brachos, vihisigucha, and they will reach you. And that is a little bit redundant. The pasuk doesn't really make sense. If you do all the mitzvahs, you'll get all the brachos, vihisigucha, and they will reach you. What do you mean? If I'm getting all the brachos, what do you mean, and they will reach you? Of course they will reach me. I'm getting the brachos. So the Unklus explains the word vihisigucha. What does it mean, vihisigucha? Unklus says, viyedab kenucha. Milashon devek. You'll get all the brachos, and they will stick with you. You see, my friends, Hashem gives brachos, but not always do the brachos stick. Hashem gives brachos, but it's upon us to have very big catcher's mitts, to be able to catch the brachos, to make sure that the brachos stick. Let me explain to you just an idea to bring this point home. And the idea is, I'm going to share with you a story of a guy named Jack Whitaker. None of you have ever heard of Jack Whitaker, but Jack Whitaker, in 2002, won at the time what was the biggest Powerball lottery in history, won by a single person. In 2002, Jack Whitaker won a $350 million Powerball lottery by himself. Look him up. Look what happened to Jack Whitaker. I'm going to tell you what happened to Jack Whitaker. When he won, that very day, he went into some kind of little supermarket that he did his shopping, and he gave the checkout lady a tip, and she looked at it, and she thought it was going to be a dollar. It was $100. He felt very, very benevolent and very generous. Who wouldn't? $350 million. He was a good guy, involved in building construction, and he won when he was 55 years old. Within 4 years of winning the lottery, he was broke, bankrupt. His daughter died of suicide. He became depressed. His granddaughter and her boyfriend overdosed, died. And basically, within a very, very short period of time, 4 years, his life fell apart. And he said, and I quote, "I wish I tore that ticket up. I don't like," he said about himself, "what I've become. I don't like the Jack Whitaker that has emerged." He became depressed, lost children and grandchildren, and within 4 years was bankrupt. And that's not just a story about Jack Whitaker. I am told research indicates 70% of lottery winners within a period of time go broke. They don't know how to handle bracha. And we see this a lot, is that people get brachos and they don't know how to make bracha stick. If you ask me, I'd be very happy to win the Powerball lottery. And I'd like to think I'd be able to handle that bracha. Maybe. I don't know. I'd triple the size of your quarantine. That I would do for you. But a lot of people get brachas, and they don't always know how to make the bracha stick. And I'm telling you, despite the challenges of your first 2 weeks, and I'm going to give you a sneak preview. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about what I think yeshiva is going to look like after you get out of quarantine. I think it's going to be really special. I'm going to tell you about some of the details, what I think it's going to look like based on what we know. We're going to have what I call capsules of 50 guys per capsule. Shana Bet will be one capsule, and Shana Aleph will be divided into two capsules. And what that means is, in your capsules, that's your core organic family. No masking. When you leave your capsule, if you're with guys in other capsules, you'll have to mask. When you're in common areas, for example, the hallway, you'll have to mask. In the Beis Medrash, you'll be learning without masks in your capsules. In the Chadar Ochel, you'll be eating with your capsules, of course, without masks. The classrooms will be divided into these capsules of three so that we can all be learning together without masks. But in those common areas, you'll have to be masked. Your dorms will be based on capsules. It has to be. And that's how the yeshiva is going to run. And it's going to be fine. And it's going to be good. And you'll be able to stike. Will you be able to leave yeshiva? The answer is in Mevaseret, yes. In Mevaseret, yes. At least until the sukkahs break. We'll see what that looks like then. Are you going to get into Yishalayim on buses and all of that? Probably not. But you'll be able to run. You'll be able to go to the store. You'll be able to take out from a burger's bar and bring back, not to sit in the restaurant. That's how I envision, based on the rules that are being promulgated now, that's how things are going to look. And it's going to be fine. You guys are going to do fine. You'll exercise. You get fresh air. It's going to be a good, solid Mevaseret Yeshiva experience in a real, real way. And I think it's going to be very positive. But I think the message I want to share with you and I want to leave you with is a message of bracha. Because at the end of the day, just think, I know it's hard. And I'm not denying that I want to emphasize, I feel the quarantine. I know it's hard. I know, it's tough. And I get that. And not everyone's Yonah Hook and that, bring it on. More quarantine, more quarantine, more quarantine. Not everyone is Yonah Hook. And I get that. That's 100% legitimate. But I want to tell you the following. Is, despite the challenges, we are the recipients of tremendous bracha. And your yeshiva is a bracha, your chevra is a bracha, and what you're going to be walking into Be'ez Hashem in 6, 7, 8 days' time is also going to be a tremendous bracha. And the challenge you're going to have, and I'm putting it to you, is will you make the bracha stick? Because the stickability of the bracha, that's on you. That's on you. Hashem bestows the bracha, but you have to make it stick. You have to take the bracha and say, yeah, I'm going to maximize. I'm going to make the most out of it. I'm going to steig, I'm going to learn, and I'm going to connect. I'm going to build myself into the best version of myself I can be. And that's, the table's going to be set for you. But you have to make that bracha stick. So I give everyone my bracha, my birchas hedyot, that first of all, we start to transform ourselves into givers and not takers. Transform from having a mentality of scarcity to, despite everything, a mentality of abundance, of giving, of sharing, of how can I help my chaverim. And Be'ez Hashem, as we start to appreciate, have hakaras hatov, to the tremendous bracha that is going to be presented to us, we should do everything in our power to make that bracha stick. And if we're zoche to do that, we're going to have an incredible year. Tav Shin Pei Aleph. This year of 2020, which has been such a hard year to see, to get clarity from, will move us into a Tav Shin Pei Aleph. We will have tremendous zechuyos that from the Yisurin, from the challenges that we've suffered, we'll build on them. They'll be our springboard to Be'ez Hashem. Go mala mala, b'malas haTorah, haYira, haMidos, and Mitz Hashem, make every one of those special brachos stick. Have a wonderful evening. Don't forget, we got Rav Lobi, Rybak, with tremendous fun and entertainment a little later tonight. Yashukoyach.